Amen. How's everybody doing? Can you hear me? Fantastic. I have several announcements. Probably housekeeping stuff. I think it's time for us to do a Women's Day or Women's Retreat. What do you guys think? I think so too. It's been a while since we had our Women's Day. And so here's the plan. I need to build up a team to organize and plan the Women's Day. And here's what I need from us. I don't have brilliant ideas, but you guys have brilliant ideas. Amen? And I want us all to work together as a team. So if you are talented in organizing, planning, creative themes, anything that you can come up with, sign up here. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the list. We're going to get together. And then at some point, I'm going to whittle down the group. And if it's too large, so it can be a manageable size. Amen? And then at different times, as we come up nearer to the date, I'll pull in sisters, just like what we did last time. And probably one of the things that I learned last time is the day and the month of the Women's Day matters a lot. So we have to be cognizant of the calendar of the community. Amen? So I think last time we had it just before school started or something, pretty near, something like that. And so it was a little bit crazy. So the sign-up is here. I've signed up the sisters. They don't even know that I've signed them up. So now you know as I mention your name, amen? Roxanne Little, Tammy Goodwin, Deshae, I forget her last name, Deshae Brown, Yolanda Rivers. I know, we chatted a couple of months ago, and you said you're pretty creative and stuff like that. And I thought, I remember you said that. I'm going to sign her up. Kat Agolori. And if you feel you can contribute, please come and sign up. If you're not sure about your talent and you want to do something, come and sign up. We have another sign-up sheet. Towards the end of last year, the idea was that every other month we get together as women and guys, they do so, they have it in the calendar, where we can hang out together, where we just build our relationships and have fun together, just some fun time together. I remember when I was studying the Bible, one of the things that was very challenging was to think my life is radically going to change. And my idea of Christianity was they're boring. I thought they have no life but just, hallelujah, yes, nice. And I was really, I was debating, do I really, I want to be a disciple, but I need to live. I have interests. I have things that I enjoy doing, but I don't know. And what I saw of Christianity, of what I thought of the world, was so different from what I got to learn when I went to hang out with the sisters and the brothers at that time. And I was like, oh, they live. They do have a life. So I think just being able to hang out together. And I think a couple of weeks, I forget when, we were chatting, Chandra and I, and they went to some place. They really had fun. And I said, Chandra, my idea of fun, I don't think everybody really enjoys my idea of fun. So if you're a fun-inclined person, not like mine, even if I think mine is the best fun, but it's collective fun. I can be one-dimensional in what I call is fun, but I think I need you to sign up. I signed up people who don't know. So now you know when I say Chandra, because I've spoken to you, Tammy Goodwin, Noe, and we need like the whole spectrum. In our fellowships of some of you teens, please sign up so that you can give us ideas and we can go, oh, we are really, there is a generational gap. Now, another suggestion was, because we're in life stations, the ministry is divided in life stations, young marrieds, empty nesters, singles. Another suggestion is this, and I want you, when you sign up for this fun thing, we chew up on ideas what's best. One suggestion this afternoon, as I was talking to a sister about this, was that we could divide it, just young marrieds hang out, as opposed to the whole group. And we do it in within life stations, and then at different times maybe just hang out together. That's just an idea, and some of you are looking like, no, we just want to hang out together. You want the whole, okay, it's a consensus. So you guys here, and I will not lead this. Okay, we'll figure that out. So let's chew this on. And I just say ahead of time, I will not lead this fun activity. Okay, otherwise I'll say, let's go up the Appalachian Trail. That's a great idea to do that. So I don't think so. Okay? Sign up, please. I need us to be creative. We can do it after. We can do it after. Jackie's suggestion, we do it here. She was one of the organizers with the last Women's Day. And we sent her crazy because we didn't have any budget. We were learning just, we were creating a budget to see how things are. It was pretty fascinating. I know, you did. But I'm excited at the thought. So the debate really, when we get together about the Women's Day, is we either have a conventional Women's Day or we go for a retreat. I will not press on what I want. I know. but you know, we can go for a retreat. I know. So, but it's whichever that will be best for us as sisters here is what God will just make clear. Amen? But today, history has been made. Something that has never happened in 600 years, it's happened today. Pope Benedict, regardless your outlook of his belief, history was made today. 600 years, and I'm not sure if you call it abdication because it's not a crown, but he's stepping down. And it's incredible if you think about it, what he did. He says, look, I am limited, I see my limitations, I'm not able to lead, so I step down. And then he gives them this charge, the conclave of bishops who are going to decide who's going to be the next pope, he says, I want you to work in symphony. And whomever you're going to decide to be the next pope, I will submit to him. I thought, wow, this is great lessons of leadership. Of the world. So I thought that was very profound, and he's going to go to the castle in Gandolfo. No, when I heard it, I thought, Gandolf. And I thought, no, it's called Gandolfo. So I thought that was just fascinating. I think things like this, they happen, and I think sometimes we don't catch up with what's going on in the world and just how profound, and the things that we can learn of the world. So we have several announcements, like I said, the Women's Day, Women's Retreat, fun time for women. I'm not sure, I wanted to ask Sue Magar if all our classes are filled up. But regardless, whether our classes are filled up or not, I just wanted to mention something about serving in the Kids' Kingdom. I've served in the Kids' Kingdom, I think it's fantastic. It stretches you, you get tired, you wake up early, you come back, you're tired. By the time I was serving, the last time I was serving the children, I think we had 3 weeks to go, and Richard was like, how many more weeks before you finish serving? Because it's your choice of service affects the whole household. And with what Richard does, he needs me in the congregation. But even as I serve, and I said, you know, I'm serving the kids, it's awesome, and we had a great team. And one of the things I love in teaching that class is how I become friends with those kids. Mia calls me her best friend. She told her mom, Miss Sarah must come for my party. So I have a date in April to go to her party because she says I must come. But I tell you, when she was a baby, she would cry She didn't like me because I would say no and go, cry and cry, I want my mommy. And Miss Anne was there, Mima was there serving. But what it does is you are touching a soul that has not been touched. You will be tired, yes, but your service impacts a child. Xavier, I tell him I'm scared of Scooby-Doo, and he gets tickled by that. He goes, you scared of Scooby-Doo? So our thing, every Sunday or Thursday, he comes and tells me about Scooby-Doo. And I have to be scared. And he tells me about vampires. I remember Alexis, Alexandra. She was this tiny, but she would come and tell me about herself. She told me about her brother who was lost in Walmart. And I said, did you find him? Yes. And she comes and tells me about different stuff. And I ask her about school. That's what it does for you. You grow. You learn a lot about yourself. And the kids learn a lot. So I implore you. It is a joy to serve. And I think we had the twins, the Pox twins over there, and very, okay, since they couldn't talk to now they talk, and they're very chatty, and they come every Sunday, come and talk to me, and Perry's very chatty, and they've come to my home. Because of that, you miss out, and so many others of your kids. So I felt I needed to say that. And our attitude in serving ought to be, we have so many volunteers, you can serve next time. So I just wanted, from my own experience, I just wanted to say that. And even just connecting, not even if you're not teaching, but just our children. Touch our children. We have something going on with Carissa and her sister. Where's your sister? We do this. And I don't even remember how we started doing that, but we do this. And then our fingers have to touch. E.T. And you know, the teens had their dance, and they were telling me how excited they were and that they're going to dress up for the dance. It does something to our children. So let's do that. Amen? Imitate me, if I may say so. Amen? One of the things we've been, I think it was towards the end of last year, around November, I think it was very clear that we needed to focus on our relationships, discipling relationships, relationships with one another, and for our relationships to grow, our fellowship to be tight and warm. And in November, I spoke about our circle of fellowship, and that we don't quit on one another, that we bear with each other's failings. And we looked a lot at Jesus' example and how he related with all the things that the disciples came up with. And then in January, Roxanne taught us about those 10 young women, who they were and who they were not, what they did to keep their lamps burning, how they, you know, they were interacting with one another, how to be ready and how not to be ready. You know, so we learned about that. And today, I'm going to be talking about a potpourri of us. How we are all very different. About knowing one another and understanding each other. Amen? And this year, God willing, we're going to talk about different aspects of relationships, be it best friend relationship, marriage relationship, discipling relationship, the nuances in relationships. We're going to chew on relationships so that relationship will be our strength. And that life does not take away time for us enjoying one another, learning from one another, encouraging one another, and growing. Even God himself says this, that by your love, people will know you're my disciples. And there's no greater testimony when two very different people come together and they stay friends because they're held together by the blood of Jesus. Amen? So I think that's going to be the focus. This is going to be the focus the whole of this year. One of the things, pray this works. I messed up. I deleted all my stuff today and I went in a panic. One of the things that I was looking at that I think really helps us, if you read books, there's a yearning to want to understand one another. And there are so many books to want to understand one another. And I thought one of the things that will really help us, and we have a little bit of fun to just know one another, is about the four temperaments. Okay, so let's have a little bit of fun of looking at each of these temperaments.
Is it moving?
Awesome, it's working. Yes, I went in a panic. One of the temperaments is sanguine. And the sanguine person, probably one of the... Tammy's looking at me and I'm thinking, yeah, I thought about you. People always associate Peter in the Bible with of a sanguine personality. They tend to be cheerful, friendly, talkative, lively, life of the party, restless, pretty self-centered, not dependable. They'll say, I'll do everything, and then they end up not really, they overstretch themselves. They're impulsive. I think what I'll do is I'll send this to our family group leaders, and then they can disperse it to any of us who are interested in reading this. But you can get it in the internet, you can get it in books, if you have time to just read them out. But it's great to just understand one another when you know your personalities and how we are, and it helps us to better relate to one another. Their needs, they need freedom. They need freedom to be able to use their energy and their creativity. They want to be loved. They get off their energy off of people. If they're not around people, it's kind of like they just wilt. And people, they feed off of people. They love to be around people. They need constant assurance. Even in their energy and outwardness and being life of the party, they need constant assurance that God loves them. And that you love them. They need to be believed in. Even if they come across like they don't need it, they need to hear it that, you know what, you are really awesome. They need to be believed in and liked. The challenge is they fear loss of social approval. They need to be held accountable because they feel they have so much energy and they can do everything and anything. And they need to be reminded to, you know what, you said you were going to do this. Oh, yes, I did. So they need to be reminded, held accountable, ask them specific questions. You might have to draw them out. And so as we relate with one another, it's forearmed is for, you know, forewarned. You know one another. But you're equipped to know how to deal with each other and not just wonder, who are you? Are you the Easter Bunny? You might have to draw them out, dig them out, help. And I think one of the things, because they're so energetic, it's so easy for them to be self-reliant, independent and prideful. And so help them see that, you know what, you need God. You need other people to also do. I know you feel you can do everything, but leave room for other people also to do. And then for them to receive. People like Peter, who of sanguine nature, it's very hard for them to receive because their mindset is always of giving and giving and giving. They don't really sit. And then when you want to serve them, it's like, no, I really don't need it. Fascinating, huh? The other temperament is the choleric. Choleric. And people associate Paul to be choleric. They're optimistic, active, confident, strong-charactered, strong-willed, quick-tempered, aggressive, inconsiderate, because they're thinking, you know what, this is what we need to do. We just need to go on and do it. Come on. They're authoritative, opinionated. They're very focused and driven. They tend to make very good leaders. They're direct in their speech and impatient if you're beating around the bush. They're like, come on, get to the point. They desire change, growth, progress, success. That's the choleric person. Their needs. They love a stiff challenge. They love to be stretched and feel like as though they're really stretching themselves and really stepping out and they're constantly growing. Oh, they love taking responsibility and being given the responsibility. They want to have an impact. And they hate being taken for granted. The challenge. Give them responsibilities. Let them lead something. Seek out their input. They love high standards and being hard-lined. They need your respect. They can easily be self-reliant. Call them to constantly rely on God and not on themselves and their talent. Help them meet the emotional needs of others. They need help to get in touch with their own emotions and feelings. They need to be constantly called to love others and to serve others. Now, these temperaments are not rigid. They're very fluid. Okay. The other temperament is phlegmatic. The other sentiment is phlegmatic. And Paul is very characteristic. Timothy is very characteristic of the phlegmatic temperament. They tend to be calm, dependable, efficient, easygoing, passive, indecisive, stubborn, and complacent. They are steady as they come, steady as a rock. They have a stabilizing effect around others. Have you been around people who, when you're just with them, you feel calm? If your world is falling apart and you're just next to them, you're like, you know what? I think all my panic is gone. Yeah, it's not that bad. That person is phlegmatic. They love family and are protective and possessive and loyal. Needs. They need security and acceptance. You remember when Paul said, I'm sending you Timothy, he's timid, please pull him in. Okay. They need security and acceptance. The challenge is they value friendship. They are the most natural of friends. Reassure them of your friendship and your loyalty. Instill confidence in them. Help them to be decisive. You know those sisters who take a long time to make decisions. Okay, what about this? What about that? They're just simply being phlegmatic. Okay? They don't take to changes very well. Challenge their character. Help them be dynamic and powerful. They can come across very complacent, but help them be dynamic and powerful. The last temperament is melancholy. Moses. They're melancholic, sensitive, moody, broody. Even my voice sounds different, I think. Sensitive, analytical, perfectionists, not very sociable and rigid. They're also very idealistic. They're creative. And so, you know, I want to say stereotype, all these artistic people, I just don't feel this. I've got to feel it before I get my inspiration. When I was reading this, I thought about them. But they're creative, they're motivators, they're deep thinkers, they're perceptive and compliant. They appreciate accuracy and attention to details. They need your appreciation and friendship. And they fear to be wrong, especially since they're perfectionists. The challenge, assure them that it is okay to be wrong. It is human to err, and it's okay. Don't beat yourself down. Does all this sound familiar? Can you see yourself in any one of these? Yeah. Ask their input, especially since they're deep thinkers. Ask their input so they feel appreciated and their insights. They enjoy deep conversations. Teach them carefully and accurately. Teach them carefully and accurately. It didn't switch. Teach them carefully. Okay. Teach them carefully and accurately. Okay. Teach them carefully and accurately. They love to ask questions. What happened? It changed? Okay. Oh, did I? Okay. They love to ask questions, and I think sometimes when they ask you questions, it can come across like as though you're critical. They're critical, it can come across like they're questioning you. They just want to understand your thinking and where you're coming from. So sometimes they can be misunderstood. It's just their nature. They just want to know. It doesn't mean that they're critical. They just want to know your thinking. They will lose trust in you if you give them wrong or contradictory information. Call them to extend grace on themselves and on you. They need to learn not to beat themselves down. Help them to be joyful. Because they're so melancholic, they see the glass always half empty instead of half full. They always see the bad things and the negative things. Help them and remind them about God and His grace and how awesome God is. Amen? I think that was fun. I thought we could do that, you know, and just add on to our knowledge and understanding and knowing one another. Because the closer we get, the more of ourselves are exposed, and then the lesser of misunderstanding one another. Amen? And so I thought we could do that in just knowing one another. And I thought I could call this class a potpourri of us, because we're all so different. And if we're one-dimensional, we can get hurt. And if we're one-dimensional in how we deal with people, we can get hurt. And so I put all that together so we can know one another. I'm not saying we become psychologists. I'm not saying we become psychiatrists. I'm not saying we become therapists. I'm just saying let's know one another. Amen. One of the things that Tammy sent, I think beginning of the year, she sent an email, and she said, I want to grow, Sarah. I want to grow in understanding and knowing people. And I think we ought to yearn to do that, to want to know people. And not just, I know you, Roxanne, I know you, Julia, I know you, Jackie, but really knowing her, where she's coming from, and just appreciating her strength and her weaknesses. So I want us to grow as we talk about relationships in knowing one another and enjoying each other's differences, accepting one another, lock, stock, and barrel. With knowledge comes understanding, and a desire for us to grow and become wise. Amen? 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 2, a potpourri of us. 2 Timothy chapter 2 from 20 to 21. This speaks of us and who we are. He says, in a large house, there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, and prepared to do any good work. And God is saying about us, we're different. And he speaks of us as a household. We're different. In the house, there's the frying pan, there's the pot, there's the kettle. And we're different in that way. No one person is the same. And God says, you know what? Be cognizant of this, that we're different. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. This is probably one of the Proverbs that really had a profound impact on me when I was young in the ministry. And it says this. Proverbs 20, verse 5. The purposes of a man's heart are deep waters, but a man of understanding draws them out. This, in one of my discipling time as a young woman in the ministry, I remember Brigitte showing me this passage. It says, we're dealing with people. We're dealing with women of all ages, from different backgrounds, different talent, different people. And she says, I want you to grow in your ability to draw out women so they can be their best for God. Amen? And what happened was that I'd frozen. I was getting together with this sister, and she started crying because I was asking her some things. And I thought, oh, she's crying. And we just stopped. And I thought, she's crying. This is just too painful. She's hurting. And I didn't go any further. And I, you know, went back and I said, I sought some advice. I said, well, this is what's going on. And I know she's hurting. I know I need to. And she says, you know what? We women, sometimes we cry because we just don't want to go there. And because we're compassionate in nature, we start seeing those tears and we just go, oh, we switch into the nurturing mode and we tap, you know, comfort. And then we get distracted from the real issue. And then we let it go by because she was crying. But for her sake, yes, let her cry. Give her time. And I think sometimes we're uncomfortable with silence. And we have to be comfortable with silence. Let her cry. Let it all come out and then go, why were you crying? And draw her out because she cried for a reason. And I had to learn that again and again and again. And I think the closer we get, the more we get back into discipling relationships, we have to learn to draw one another out. The good and the bad. Amen. So that we can become like Christ. 1 Corinthians 12. I hope this somewhat helps. 1 Corinthians 12. From verse 12. It tells us the story of us. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. The body is a unit, though it's made up of many parts. And though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all given the one spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need those special treatment, but God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that these parts should be equal, should have equal concern for one another. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. It's a very profound passage. And I want you to go back home and think about it and be amazed by how profound it is. And I think as I read it, there's a resounding thing that says, no part is indispensable. You are important and you matter. There is nobody more important than you. We're all equally important and we need one another. You cannot say to your nail, I don't need you, nail, because you're so insignificant. You do need those nails. Amen? Amen. Romans 14. Romans 14 calls us on how to relate to one another and how to view one another. Romans 14, verse 1. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment or on disputable matters. There will be disputable matters. There's some things I'll feel strongly about and some things you'll feel strongly about. And God says, you know what? You feel strongly about? Awesome. Sit happy feeling strong about what you're feeling and thinking. But here the whole point is saying we accept one another. There are those who will have strong opinions about certain things and those who really frankly don't care about that. And that's okay. It's a very, very, the whole chapter, read this whole chapter. It's very profound of how we need to be with one another and how we relate with one another. Romans 15. Romans 15, from verse 1 to 4. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not please ourselves. Very straight, very blunt. No iffy about it. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us so that through endurance and the encouragement of Scripture we might have hope. He says the onus here is on the person who thinks they are strong. That's where the onus comes in. And he says, you know what? You ought to bear with the failings. There is no person I have met who is perfect. And even the best of friends, they step on each other's toes. And God says, bear with one another. Bear with one another. 7-13. He says, accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Can you imagine if Christ was conditional to you? None of us will be acceptable. And I like it when he says, you know what? Christ accepted you. And he says, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth to confirm the promises made to the patriarchs, so that the Gentiles may glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing hymns to your name. Again, it says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. Profound. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So we're just having Bible study on our relationships. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Verse 12, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Here he's saying, you know what, there is a choice. There is a tandem. There is a weighing of matters. And he says, you know what, everything is permissible for you. He's teaching us how to make those decisions. The decision-making process. He says, you know what? Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is of beneficial. And the question that should guide us is, in what we say, how we react, is this beneficial? And when we think that way, it will really mature us. It'll cause us to have self-control. What I'm about to say, does it benefit her? Or is it just benefiting me? It really calls us to be mature. And he says, these are the things you need to think about as we relate to one another. Is it beneficial right now for me to say this? You think about it in a marital relationship. Is it beneficial for me to say it right now? Because everything I'm feeling right now, my PMSs are really making me think he is just, should I tell him now with all my venom? I'll tell you what, Christy, one day I was feeling all that venom and I was calling her and I am crying because I'm like, I am ready. And she says, and I thought she would really be on my side because I was really right in my feeling and my thoughts. And she said, pray for him. He says, you are looking at him. He feels like as though he's your enemy right now. And Matthew says, pray for your enemy. I was like, but Christy, she says, I know. I can hear it in your voice. Even with somebody you so love, they can rile you up. And God says, is it beneficial to say it? And you need to have sisters to call and who will look at you and say, is it beneficial? I am so grateful. I was in the parking lot, and then the other thing that I felt, and I said, and here I am, I'm in the parking lot, and I'm crying, and I'm a grown woman. He's made me so much, and then, you know, some of it, part of it was the fact that I was crying in a parking lot. And she goes, I know, I can hear it in your voice. I said, I know, so you should be on my side. Is it beneficial? Amen? 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, 23-24. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. The other measure and how to process our decision-making and our reaction is you've got to think, is this constructive what I'm saying? There are some sins we struggle with, we fall into. You've got to also weigh and say, if I tell my fellow sister this, who I know this is her weakness, is it constructive for me to confess my sin to her. Because in my confession to her, it is making her sin. And so you've got to make that decision. Yes, you're permitted to confess to anybody, but you need to make that decision. There is a reason why I called Christy. As much as I wanted her to be on my side, I knew she would call me to be godly. And you've got to have the conviction of saying, I will call sisters who will call me to be godly. Not to agree with you, not to pat you, but who will call you to be godly. Everything's permissible, but is it constructive? Some of the things we say and do, some of the things we wear, especially summer is coming. You've got to think about those things. I am coming, and I have my single brothers who are really fighting for purity, and probably married men. You don't want your brothers to struggle, and you're wearing the transparent thing or whatever, and you've got to think, is this constructive for my brother? The world is full of all permissible. And we've got to be able to come in worship, and it's a haven where the brothers don't have to so focus on staying pure. Love your brother enough to dress in a way you will not make your brother or somebody else's husband sin. Constructive, beneficial. We have mirrors. If you're not sure, ask somebody. If you question what you're wearing, don't wear it. Amen? Amen. Proverbs 12. We grow in our relationships. And these are some of the growths. Proverbs 12, verse 16. A fool shows his annoyance at once, but a prudent man overlooks an insult. Let us be prudent. Let us be prudent. 1 Corinthians, actually even before we turn to 1 Corinthians, 1 Peter 4 speaks of love overlooks a multitude of sin. I like what God says. It's a multitude of sin. It's a huge heap. It's a pile of sin. And God says, you know what? There's some things you just need to overlook because you love. And the thing that gives you that ability to overlook is love. And the more you know one another, the more you love one another. The more you spend time with one another, the more you'll say, you know what, I know her. And you'll say, you know what, I think Sherry used this phrase, is water off my back? And you'll say, it's water off my back. It's not biggie, I think is what my girls say. No biggie, Mom. Amen? 1 Corinthians 13. First Corinthians 13, we're talking about relationships, a potpourri of us, how we're all different. I'm not turning about what love is. That's what we tend to think about when we think of First Corinthians 13. But let's look at 11 to 13. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part. Then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. It's very profound. And you know, when you read it, when I read it, I thought, wow, this is, it's a cadence of all things. A natural progression of things. And it's an expectation of growth, of maturity. It says, once I thought about things in a childish way, but now. And we ought to be able to look at ourselves and say, I used to be this way, but now. That growth, that progression, that flow. Amen? It's not your full, complete theological explanation of the passage, but the totality of it all, you see that cadence of what he's saying. And I'm calling us sisters to grow. Amen? To enjoy one another, to appreciate our differences, about not just staying the way you are. Change sometimes is painful. Change is hard. But embrace change. Embrace that challenge. You will be the better person. Grow in knowledge. Grow in your wisdom and understanding. This, the way, you know, Tammy sent that email. She says, I want to grow. And I quickly replied. I said, this is a great book that you can grow in as you relate to people. She, you know, well, she was laughing. She says, every time I say this, I tend to hurt the sister's feelings all the time. I said, you know what? This is a great book you can read. It's about schema. Same concept of really understanding, but it talks about different schemas, and he focuses on your childhood and your past, because your childhood really affects your present. And the more you read, just the more you'll know. I think it's great. God expects us to grow in our knowledge. He says that in Peter. He says, add onto your knowledge, and when you keep growing, you will stay faithful. He doesn't want us to plateau. So 1 Corinthians speaks of a cadence of all things, of growth and change. Even music speaks of change. Aretha Franklin, different strokes, different folks. You can tell I don't sing. Roxanne's been working on me speaking from my diaphragm. It's not working, you know. But it speaks of change. Nothing stays the same. The young become the old. All those great songs, they speak to this cadence of change. Growing up, we had a beach growing up, on private beach, and I loved going there. And we had to know the ebb and flow, the tide, because it's very dangerous. And the tide would come in at around 3. And so we could walk into the sea. And we're like, wow, can you imagine? We're walking here. And I'm thinking, the water right now, if it were here, it would be way above me. But we had to know the ebb and flow of the tide. Otherwise, and I'm thinking, now I have my children. I would not let them do that. Because the scary thing is, the tide comes in and you're not aware of it. Because you're thinking, oh, you're fine. And some people have died because of that, because they're caught in the tide and they're trying to swim and the waves just hits them and stuff like that. So it's, you've got to know stuff. You've got to know the changes. You've got to be aware of it and embrace that change. Amen? Cadence of things. God expects us to grow. Amen? And so, as we talk of relationships, let us grow in knowing one another. Because with knowledge comes understanding. Amen? I love you, and God bless you.